I was around a church or churches in the beginning when I was young, to begin my Christian walk, who believed, even though they didn't always come out and say, that the gifts had died, that the gifts had ceased with the apostles. And the logic behind that was when the Bible is canonized, then it was a complete work and finished, and God stopped speaking at that point because everything he needed to say was in Scripture. And when the prophetic gifts started to flow within me, there was no training. And you kind of stumbled, you kind of made mistakes, and then you got feedback that wasn't good. Even when you would step out in the prophetic, sometimes you'd be attacked. And, you know, and you suffered offense and condemnation. I thought, man, how good would it be to be able to go back and have someone sit down and train me? To have someone that really knew the prophetic and, you know, just the whole thing, and to train me right. And to be in a group of people who had a common interest in this, and that we're helping each other and holding each other accountable. And that's what this is. All right? So let's start. What is prophecy? Lesson 1, Foundations in the Prophetic. The Hebrew word to prophesy means to flow forth. It further implies the meaning as to bubble forth like a fountain or to spring forth. The word prophecy literally means to speak for another. Prophecy is supernatural revelation, or the voice of God in any given situation that brings forth edification, exhortation, and comfort. Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All true testimony comes from Jesus. All true prophecy comes from Jesus. It's the testimony of Jesus. If you ever have to go to court, you would testify. You would give testimony in court of another, of what happened. We stand here giving testimony of what Jesus is saying. The spirit of prophecy is testimony of Jesus. And it always points to Him. The purpose of the gift of prophecy in the New Testament church, prophecy changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament because the Spirit of God was not poured out on every believer in the Old Testament. We have the Holy Spirit now to correct us, to correct our heart. We have the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit living with them to convict them of sin. They had the law. And they had prophets that would bring the judgment of God down on them. We are in a period of grace. This is not the day of judgment. The day of judgment is on the last day. We are not in the last day. We are in the last days. And there's a big difference. The last days is a time of grace. It's a time of the Holy Spirit living within man. And the Lord pouring His power out upon us, where we are the temple. The last day is when the Lord judges. So, the purpose of the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14:3, but one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consultation. Edification means to build up. Exhortation means to call near. We call it near to the Lord, near to their destiny, to what the call of God is on their life. Consultation means to cheer up. How many people know they need that? Mm-hmm. New Testament prophets are not called to bring negative words, correction, or to call down fire on people.
That's right.
We do not do that. If you hear a prophet bringing negative words, it is an immature prophet. They don't understand that New Testament view of what prophecy should be. Exhortation, edification, and comfort. We are prophets of grace, not of judgment. We do not prophesy people's problems to them. They know their problems. We prophesy answers. We are called to bring the best out in people. If someone has hate in their heart, and you walk up to that person, and they're just so consumed with hate, and the Lord shows you that, okay? You still don't speak negative, but they know they have hate in their heart. Your prophetic word should be something like, man, I just wish I was you in the next 6 months. They go, why? Because God's going to just fill you with so much love. You know, he just wants to release love into you and to fill every part of your heart with love. That is New Testament prophecy. The comfort to build up. For someone, we walk up to someone and they're in sexual sin, you don't call that out. You know, God is going to fill you with His, you know, with His purity. God's going to just release a grace of purity in your life, man. Now, doesn't that sound better?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that build up? Never, 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 never negative words. We're not called to that. Prophecy is a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit. It's not a reward for anything that we do. The Bible tells us to earnestly desire the gifts, but there is nothing we can do to earn it. It's not a mark of spiritual maturity. You can prophesy accurately and be spiritually immature. And I think that's what was really lacking in prophetic training, and where we suffered by not having prophetic training, is that part of prophetic training should be building up in integrity, that you prophesy in love. And people have gone out, and prophecy is probably the easiest gift that you can abuse. I mean, you can step out and say, the Lord says this to you, or the Lord told me this. And I used to be, if someone said, well, the Lord said this, I would say, well, God's speaking to me. I can't argue with that. But I've gotten past that, because the Word says to test the Word, you know, to test prophetic words. And if someone says, well, God told me to do this, I have a right to test that in their life and question it. You know, to test the Word to make sure it's true. We do not earn the gift of prophecy. We receive it by asking for it. I can remember I sat with a friend in one of my first prophetic classes, and I would watch this guy, and he could prophesy anything. I felt such like a child around him. And I said, how do you prophesy so well? He says, I ask. And what else? Because that's it. Do you get up and ask every day? I said, no. He says, well, I do. And I get it. The key to prophecy, the gift of prophecy flowing through your life, is to simply begin asking for it. Gift or charisma means a favor in which one receives without any merit on his own. A gift of divine grace. And I want you to know that our God is a good Father. And He loves to give good gifts. I can remember when Christmas time, I would go out and choose these gifts for the kids, especially when they're small. You have a small tree, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And the greatest joy you have is when your son or daughter opens that gift. And the expression on their face. Wow! If you, being an earthly father or mother, have that desire, how much more will your Father in heaven get pleasure when you open up with one of His gifts? He wants to give you the gifts of the Spirit so bad, so much. I'm telling you, it pleases His heart. The world, the enemy of this world, will try to shut it down. But when you start to believe that it's for you, that it's not just because someone else can prophesy, it means they're special and God passed you over somehow. Once you get rid of that type of thinking and just go back to that, like if you were a child on Christmas Day, how you, a perfect mom or dad would just want you to open up the presents. That's how your Heavenly Father is. And what we're going to do in this course is going to be many people unwrapping the gift of prophecy. And they're going to go, wow, this is so cool. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4, I want to read this because this is a very misunderstood verse. 12, 4 to 11. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. Variety of effects, but the same God who works in all persons. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everyone receives a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of knowledge of the Spirit, to another the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith, the gift of faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, one by the one Spirit. And to another the working of miracles, and another to prophesy, and another to distinguish in the spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one just as He wills. I was taught that each of us were given a spiritual gift. And we would take the spiritual gift test. Try to find out what my special gift was. But this results in the assumption that if we're not operating in that gift presently, we must not have been given that gift. Does that make sense? I believe this is an incorrect doctrine. Think about the character of God. He's a good Father. And He would have no one perish. So, if someone is really down and contemplating suicide, and you walk up to them, do you think the Father wants you to have ears to hear His voice for them? Do you think the Father wants you to have ears to hear His voice, to give the encouraging word? If someone is really sick, do you think the Father would want them to be healed? Then why wouldn't He give you the gift of healing? Do you know what the best gift is? It's the one you need at the time. If you talk, and I've interviewed people who have been in the ministry, every single one, when you start going down these lifts, they've operated in every single gift. You have the ability. When Jesus died upon the cross, and He said it was finished, and the Holy Spirit was released on the day of Pentecost, you got the whole package. There's nothing else He has to do. There's nothing else He's going to do. Now, there's certain people, especially the fivefold, they carry a strong anointing in a certain area. Some people carry a strong anointing in healing. I can remember praying for many people who did not get healed. I would read Reinhard Bonnke's books, I would read Smith Wigglesworth books, and I would get nowhere. But I remember I kept pressing, and I would not quit, and one day I got a breakthrough, and then it just started. I've seen a lot of people healed. The Great Commission tells us to go heal the sick. So it's a gift of the Spirit, but everyone's supposed to do it. Each gift here, every single gift is available to you when you need it. That's the way Jesus operated. It's the way the early church operated. And that's the way he intends us to operate. All we have to do is approach him with a childlike faith and ask and believe and receive. When I started praying for the sick and people were not getting healed, I just believed the word that God said I would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And I just kept at it and kept at it until it happened. If you're not operating in a gift now, work at it until the gift breaks through in your life, and it will. The gift of prophecy is the same way. I can remember sitting in services, watching everyone else prophesy, and I didn't get anything. And just wondering, what is wrong with me? Why? And then I started to get around prophetic people, and I started asking, how do you do this? And that's when they started to share. You ask, you do this. And a lot of the things that we're going to share in the School of the Prophetic are techniques that will allow you to position yourself to hear from the Lord. We had an incredible service a few weeks ago at a friend's church. We got there at 6, and this for me was a stretch. Done it before, but it was kind of a stretch. The service started at 6 o'clock, and the guy that was leading the service was done about an hour and a half or so, and he called up me and a couple of the guys. There was four of us, and our job was, I don't know, maybe 120 people were in the room. Our job was every single person in that room was going to receive four prophetic words on the microphone on the tape. So when they gave you the microphone, we stood in the line, the microphone went down, and when they gave you the microphone, you had to prophesy whether you had anything or not. And you would just, Jesus, I need you. But once you hit the flow, there's a river that flows from the throne of God. And that river is accessed by faith. And you can step into it. You can step in, because God is always speaking. You can step into that prophetic flow. And I would be prophesying, and in my mind I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm saying this. What was neat was that we went to, it wasn't over to until 3 in the morning. And people waited with families, children asleep on the chairs from 6 till 3 in the morning, waiting for a prophetic word. This world is hungry, guys. We're the answer. So I can make this statement boldly. The gifts are learned. Jesus already released them, so they're learned. You learn to prophesy. You can learn to heal the sick. You can learn to work miracles. You learn how to do it. That's what we're doing. When I got that revelation, it changed everything. Because I knew there was something on my part now. I had to go after this, and I had to learn. I mean, I've been to college. I know how to study. I started to run after this with all my heart until it opened up in my life. And it's going to open up in yours. Prophecy in the Bible was vital. I mean, most of the Old Testament is prophetic books, from the major prophets to the minor prophets. Prophecy is all throughout. I could list pages and pages of prophetic words. Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection was all prophesied, all fulfilled. And then we hit the New Testament, and the word, the church moved by the prophetic word. Paul would be thinking of going into Asia, and he would receive the prophetic word, don't go in there now, go here. Jesus, during his ministry, lived out of a place where he only did what he saw the Father do. And he only said what he heard the Father say. He lived from a prophetic realm, listening to an inner voice inside of your head. Next course, we're going to talk about how to distinguish the still small voice in your mind. when it's you and when it's God. And Jesus lived in that place of that constant prophetic direction from the Father. Jesus was an example. He was the first new man that came forth. He was an example. Every part of anything Jesus did, his ministry, every miracle, when he walked on the water, when he multiplied the bread and the fish, was done as 100% man. The same as you and I. He never used his power as God to perform any miracle. He did it as a man. And what he demonstrated is this is possible when you are in right relationship with the Father. This is possible for your life exactly as Jesus. You could walk on the water. People look at me going, no way. The word says that creation is groaning.
Yes, yes.
For the sons yes. of men to be revealed. What that means is a noose river is crying out for someone to walk on it. It's groaning. Waiting for the sons of men to be revealed. Hallelujah. Jesus is called the Word. In John, right? I mean, he's the Word. He's always speaking. God is always speaking. Psalms 45 is at the end of it. If I would declare and speak of them, his thoughts towards us, they would be too numerous to count. Every believer is prophetic to a degree. You are prophetic simply by knowing Jesus. Any person that I've ever trained in the prophetic has had the same comment. I have always been hearing the voice of God and just did not recognize it. But now I know I've always heard the voice. The prophetic training is, as much as anything, is to teach you to recognize what you're hearing now. Jesus, if you're saved, he lives inside of you. And you think if you're hanging out with someone that close, he's not talking? He's talking all of the time. Prophetic training allows us to tune our spiritual ears. If you had, it's like an FM dial on the car radio. Prophetic training allows you to put it at the right spot to get a clear signal. So many times, Jesus said, but I just picked this one out in Luke. He who has ears, let him hear. This implies two things. First, that Jesus is speaking. And second, some of us do not have our spiritual ears on. He who has ears, let him hear. God is always speaking, but his word is hidden. God's word is hidden from the proud, and is made available to ones that are humble and hungry for the Word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Those with a childlike faith. Luke 10:21 says, at that very time he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Proverbs 25, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. As a body of Christ, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood made to be prophetic.
Amen.
It has been granted to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to the world it has not been granted to them. God's first language is not English. It's Spanish. Go, Martha. I'm sorry, it's not Spanish. It's the language of the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. So as we learn to tune our ears, you will hear the voice of God. Anyone can prophesy. Paul said, we We all may prophesy, and that includes everyone. As we draw nearer to Jesus in faith, we will find there is an ease which the believer can hear the voice of God. It'll become easy. It will. It'll become natural. There's times that you can draw so near to God that the unseen realm, the spirit realm, is more real than this world. And you can tune in so closely that the voice of the Good Shepherd will always be there, guys. Paul said that we should earnestly desire spiritual gifts. In other words, we have to place a high value upon the gift of prophecy. This is so important. Pursue love, let earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. We are a prophetic generation. One day God had a dream, and it was spoken out in Joel 2:28. It's God's dream. He said, in those days it'll come to pass. God's dreaming now. And I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters, they'll prophesy. Your old men, they'll dream dreams. The young men will see visions, even on the male and male servants. I will pour out my spirit on those days. When the day of Pentecost come, Peter said, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is that. We are a prophetic generation. And I just believe it's a Kairos time and a Kairos moment that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are going to be released. We're going to receive, they've been released, but we're going to receive them, and our eyes are going to be open, and we're going to have revelation of this. The key to successful prophetic ministry is the secret place. The greatest and most important key to prophetic ministry is a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We seek His face. As we seek His face, we hear His voice. Whoever belongs to Jesus communicates with Him. Our greatest call as a prophetic generation is to know the Lord. It is possible to operate in the gift of the prophecy without knowing the Lord. It says in Matthew 7:22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name did we not cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? But then I will declare to you that I did not know you. Could you imagine living your life, doing the work of the ministry, but never knowing Jesus? The greatest call upon our life is to have that intimate relationship with the Lord. Our motivation for desiring prophetic ministry is to hear His voice, to know Him better. If you're rooted and grounded in love, and you're rooted and grounded in intimacy, you will not go off the course. Moses, he had that cry, let me know your ways, Lord. Show me your ways that I may know you. That's the cry of the prophetic generation. Lord, show me your ways. Let me hear your voice that I may know you. In Amos 3:7 it says, the Lord will He entrust Himself to the prophets to the extent that He will not do anything unless He reveals His secrets to the prophets first. That is a husband and wife type relationship. That is an intimate relationship. I would say, who would go out and buy a car without consulting with their wife? But it's not a good example. Sorry, I thought that. All right, we'll go on with that. There's a principle I call beholding and becoming. As we behold the face of the Lord in the secret place, we become like Him. We behold and we become. His reflection overtakes us till we look more like Him than we look like ourselves. And as you behold and become, you are being transformed into His image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give eternal life to them, and they will not perish." I used to think this parable about the sheep, that I was a sheep, because sheep aren't smart. They're kind of dumb. And they like follow behind the shepherd all the time. I used to not like that because I thought that they were just calling me dumb. But then I really started to think about it. And I read this account one time of this guy that was in Israel and followed a shepherd and his flock around everywhere. The sheep, the shepherd spends time, a lot of time with the sheep. When Samuel came to anoint the king, David was out with the sheep. That's where he stood. The sheep were so trained that you could bring a crowd of people and everyone would be talking, but when the shepherd talked, the sheep would recognize his voice. They would not follow any other voice, and they would only follow him. Prophetic training is there's a lot of voices talking at us.
Yes.
Prophetic training, the intimacy part of it, of the key is the secret place, is that in that secret place, you're like that sheep spending time with the shepherd. And you will recognize his voice. And when the enemy tries to come in and deceive you, you go, "That's not the voice of my good shepherd. That's the enemy's voice." You will recognize Jesus' voice in the secret place. And we will follow him that way. You can get anointed men and women to lay hands on you. And they can impart gifts. I've had prophetic people lay hands on me, and it's advanced me in the area of the prophetic. I could tell the difference afterwards. No one can lay their hand on me, though, and give to me their history with God.
Yes.
Good word.
That is something each of us has to make on our own. The secret place is the most important key in the prophetic ministry. And if you desire the prophetic to flow, just fall in love with Jesus over again. I don't care how much you're in love with him now, do it again.
Yeah.
Fall in love deeper. Head over heels. Wow. An important key. It's getting tough up here, guys. An important key to operating in the prophetic is how you place a value on it. Our growth and maturity in a prophetic will be a result of how much we earnestly desire and contend for this gift. The words earnestly desire literally mean to lust after. You lust after. It's translated that way. You lust after the gift of the prophetic. That's what the Lord's telling us. God, I want this. Why? Because he wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to be guided by the voice of his voice and not by the voice of the enemy. Just give you some verses. If the spirit who gives life, the life profit, the flesh profits nothing, The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. His words spoken to us are spirit and life. That's why the Lord wants us so much to hear His voice. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, there is a logos and the rhema word, right? Logos is the written word from the Bible. The rhema word is the spoken word of God. So when he's saying every word that proceeds, he's talking logos scripture, rhema prophetic. Our ears have to be tuned. That's why he wants us to lust after it. So that every word, logos and rhema, we hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you desires of your heart. When you delight yourself in the Lord, the desires of your heart to hear his voice, to hear the voice of the shepherd in your life on a daily basis will be given to you. I want to stress this again. Just because you're not operating in the prophetic ministry now does not mean it's a gift that was not given to you. When you begin to earnestly desire, when you begin to place a value on it, you place a demand upon the anointing for that gift, and you start to contend for it in prayer, it will be released within your life. I wish that all would prophesy. I wish that all would have that passion. I wish that all would hear my voice. A prophetic community. The Lord spoke this to me one day, and I had not ever heard of it before. I went on the internet and realized I was not the first person to get this word, but I hadn't heard of it before. And the Lord said, I want to establish a prophetic community here. And this has been burning in my heart. And I was praying. I had a vision the other night, and I took this sword, and I plunged it into the ground in this vision. And I said, here I establish a prophetic community. There was one planted in the ground in Charlotte. There's one planted in Kansas City. There's one planted in Bethel, California, Redding. And in that vision, I planted that sword here as the first step. And this is what the Lord showed me. As we come together in unity, a common purpose, we come together to seek His face and learn to hear His voice. The Lord said, when a unity comes, I'm going to bring an umbrella of my presence down, a prophetic umbrella. And when people walk into it, the gift will just start activating within their lives. I'm going to create a prophetic atmosphere within that umbrella. This happened when Saul was on his way to be anointed king. He ran into the company of prophets, and what happened? He started prophesying. Why? There was a prophetic atmosphere. That company of prophets is also called a school of the prophets. So imagine somewhere up in the mountains in Israel, these guys are getting together and they have a school of the prophets. What does that look like? It's, and I'll put this down here, a prophetic community cultivates a prophetic lifestyle. Your lifestyle starts, as we're together, your lifestyle starts to shift so you make room for the prophetic within your life. A prophetic community allows people to walk in their full potential of their calling. We do not judge people about how they are now. We don't judge them by their limitations. But we search for their potential. We don't look at the garbage. We brush the garbage away to find the gold. Iron sharpens iron. We will grow faster in the prophetic. We will mature quicker as we hold hands and do this together. A prophetic community is a group of people with relationship with each other and accountability to each other and to leadership. I want to stress to each other. I have a friend. He lives out of state. And he's helped me a lot in the prophetic. He would call me up and say, "All right, Mike, what color are my pants?" I go, "Blue." "No, pray and hear from the Lord." Click, and call me back. "Black." "That's right, you got it." Call me back again. "Mike, what color is my shirt?" "White." "No, when you hear from the Lord, call me back." We stir the gifts up in each other. We create an atmosphere of faith here, an atmosphere of encouragement, a prophetic atmosphere, a prophetic culture. We come into unity of that. It changes the atmosphere around us. Just walking in here, your prophetic gift will jump. I believe that's what, as part of the Church of New Branch, what the God's called us to do. And it's going to happen, guys. Amen. Part of a prophetic community is a culture of risk. The greatest hindrance to prophetic ministry is fear. And we're going to destroy that and pull that stronghold down. A culture of risk will pull the stronghold of fear down. Misses and mistakes are learning experiences and are not shameful. We may fail a lot. It is better to swing and miss than not swing at all. Okay. There's no punishment for mistakes. We will learn to fail successfully. Do you know how you fail successfully? You learn from it. That's a successful failure. Is when you've learned from it. Our goal is to be 100% accurate in prophetic ministry, yet we realize we're not there yet. We learn to be deeply accountable to each other in this lifestyle of risk. When people succeed, we applaud them. When they fail, we pick them up. To some prophetic teaching come out of Bethel, Bill Johnson's church. And they have a rule there that if to graduate from the School of Supernatural Ministry, you have to have given 5 incorrect words. 5 wrong prophecies. Because if you haven't pushed yourself enough to make mistakes, you will not learn. This is the place to learn. We learn in the school of the prophetic. It's okay to make mistakes here. It's okay to completely miss it here. But on the other hand, you know the word says to test the prophetic word, right? When someone, we've got to get to the place where someone can stand up here and they can prophesy, and someone can stand else can stand and say, "You know, that word, I don't think it's right. Maybe the first part was right, but I don't think the last part was right." They can test that word and bring correction without this person receiving offense to it. And without getting their hurt, their feelings hurt. We are learning. It's all done in love. It's all in love. Guys, it's so important. The Lord told me, He said, do the school of prophetic first and then the school of healing. Because such a part, big part of healing is words of knowledge. To walk up and to know what's wrong with the person. Because you're hearing the voice of your Father telling you, pray for this, pray for this, pray for this. That's why this is first. Amen. So anyway, I'm excited. We're establishing, it's in the ground, the sword's in the ground. We're establishing a prophetic community. And I believe it will be known around the world. I believe that. Amen.
Yes.
So you ready to swing? Try it out? Alright. I want you to get near someone, pair up with someone you do not know that well.
Got a quiet place?
Just pray. Lord, I just, in the name of Jesus, I just remove any spirit of fear in here and intimidation. In Jesus' name, we cast out any spirit of fear. This is a safe place. Lord, I thank you that this is a safe place, that we can have fun at this, that it's not important that we succeed, it's important that we try. I release right now, Lord, a spirit of prophecy in this place. A spirit of revelation to fall upon every person in here. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to ask the person, ask the Lord, just one word for that person. It's the first thought that comes in your mind. Write it down if you have pencil and paper. Now, ask the Lord for an image or picture in your mind of something that would relate to that person. And the first thing that pops in your mind, write it down. I don't care how crazy it is. It doesn't have to make sense to you. If you don't have something, you have to guess. You have to come up with something. The first thought that comes to your mind. Lord, give us a word. One word for the person. Now, Lord, give us an image or a picture of that person, for that person. Now, ask the Lord for some understanding on what He showed you. Just take a few seconds.
Angels, protection.
Now I want you to share with each other what you have.
And the fish stands for. I've never had to do this. This is good.
I've always believed that God can do stuff for other people's lives, but I don't.
Again, raise your hand high. How many people received a word from the Lord? That's like everyone. Everyone got a word from the Lord.
Yes.
It's that easy? No way. It can't be that easy. So, we have a 100% success right now, right? For their mother's maiden name. Close your eyes. The only rule is you have to put something down. You have to guess.
This is a chance to be wrong, right?
Yeah.
60 seconds. I'm only going to give you 60 seconds. Just for trying. There's times that you have to step out when you do not have a clue to walk up in front of the person. And they're expecting a word, and you have nothing. And you have to stand and wait, and then it comes. Took a couple guys with me to the Dominican Republic one time. And I said, and we had all these people at this crusade. And I said, okay, see these guys over here? They're going to prophesy over everyone in the gym. And they tried to kill me, but I was protected. Everyone got in line. There are these big lines for them because everyone wants a prophetic word. That puts you on the spot, right? But then you get into the flow. You get into the flow and it starts to kick in. You get into the prophetic river of God. You'll be amazed at how He uses you. Never be afraid of making mistakes. I'll go into this in a future teaching. There's a huge difference between a false prophet and a prophet in a PIT, prophet in training. Big difference. A mistake does not make you a false prophet. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Let me give you some homework.
Jim.
Give me some homework, okay? This is real good. Begin your day, get quiet, and prophesy your day. Say, Lord, show me what's going to happen today. And start to write these things down on a tab of paper by your bed. And when you get home, check. And just keep at it every day. You ask, seek, and knock. Prophesy your day. These exercises, and I'm going to give you some each time, the value you place on the prophetic gift in your life will determine how you mature in it. This isn't something you put down and don't get back to until next week. That means you haven't valued it, the prophetic gift in your life. Well, I just pray that there's a hunger that's stirred up within us to hear your word. Lord, we want to hear your voice above all other voices.
Yes.
All right, thank you that a gift of prophecy is being released among us tonight. Spirits of wisdom and revelation are being released in this room tonight. And Lord, we are a prophetic generation that will declare the works of God. Amen. I have in the back here some recommended books you can read. All of these are good. I'm sure there's others out there. If you just wanted some resources, you could look these, probably buy them off Amazon or something. So, God bless you. Oh, what we're going to do now, who needs healing in your body? Raise your hand. Okay? You get up around these guys and you release the healing power of God. Stand up if you need healing. Stand up all around the... Guys, the rest of you are not 100% healthy. Come on. Grab someone and pray for them. Release healing. Someone else needs to get taller over here.
My ears.
Go for it, guys. Come on.